Welcome back to a first round reaction edition of Believe in 49ers presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I am your host, Tommy Call the Third. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy underscore III. That is triple I for the third. And you can also catch all of my written work about the Niners via USA Today's Niners Wire. Tons of stuff about the draft. Reactions, scouting reports, highlights, analyst reactions, tons of stuff. Everything you need to know about the 49ers first round pick off of Thursday at Niners Wire available for you. But you already know that we are here today on the Believe Network, on Believe in 49ers, to talk about the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft because it is officially in the books, and boy, do we have some stuff to talk about. While nothing will compare to the Atlanta Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. with the number 8 overall pick just a month after paying Kirk Cousins a ton of money, the 49ers made headlines with a surprise pick at the end of the first round with the number 31 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. The 49ers selected Florida Gators pass catcher Ricky Pearsall. And today on the pod, we're going to react to the pick, talk about the draft, and of course, we have to touch bases on Brandon Ayuk and now Deebo Samuel and their potential situation with the 49ers. Before we get there, we have a word from our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports for this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, players, props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today to use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, folks, let's get down to business. Let's kind of rewind a little bit before we get to the number 31 overall pick. Some stuff happened before the draft. Obviously, a lot of buzz, a lot of rumors, things like that going on, specifically with the San Francisco 49ers. Before the NFL draft started on Thursday, Diana Rossini of The Athletic reported that the 49ers have had trade discussions with both Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, including one team in the top 10. While the Ayuk trade chatter isn't a surprise, the Deebo news is, at least to me. I know this has been something that's kind of been discussed. I thought it was more so just like radio show, podcast chatter. I was actually did a guest spot on Mad Dog Radio a couple weeks ago and was asked about if Deebo was going to get traded. I kind of scoffed at it. It seems like this is now kind of picking up some steam. I still don't put a ton of stock in it, but I mean, the 49ers are just such a different team when Samuel is off the field. If you listen to this podcast, you know how big of a fan I am of his. You know, he does so much more than just catch passes, his personality type. It's just so important. His versatility, kind of what he brings, how he opens that Kyle Shanahan playbook up. And on top of that, just like the 49ers' reputation and style kind of runs through Deebo. Plus, he is on a large contract with a huge dead cap number, with two more years left. And, you know, bottom line is 32 picks came off the board today. And as we record right now at about 1:30 in the morning on Friday morning, technically, both Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are still members of the 49ers. So let's move on and talk about the pick. Ricky Pearsall. All right. If you listened to our mock draft podcast, the name Ricky Pearsall should be a familiar one. I gushed over the Florida wide receiver, calling him one of my favorite players in the draft. Been tweeting about him, and I also pinned him to the 49ers in our mock draft. However, it was in the second round at pick number 63. So to see him come off the board at number 31, even being a big fan of him, even calling him one of my favorite players in the draft, it was quite the surprise. One of the things that kind of make me a fan of his is his value. You know, I valued him as a second, you know, a day two pick, second or third round pick. That plays into these types of things. You know, obviously, if you could have Rome Odunze or Marvin Harrison Jr., you'd obviously want one of those picks instead of, you know, a guy at the back end of the first round. So to kind of compare, like, value plays into things, right? Rome Odunze was a good pick at the top half of the first round because he's that good. He's worthy of that pick. Value matters when you are drafting. And I'm going to talk about kind of the position and what I think of that value in a little bit here, because I don't want that to get lost in who the 49ers are getting as a player. I'm just surprised. I think it was a surprise pick. I think you could probably read 100-plus mock drafts, and none of them had Pearsall going in the first round, specifically to the 49ers. I thought he was a fit for Kyle Shanahan, but again, a fit later in the draft, not in the first round. And I'm just surprised. I'm very surprised as we sit here and talk, coming off draft night, that was the selection. And it feels like a reach. It feels like a reach for sure. And I understand if Pearsall was the guy, Ricky Pearsall, no matter what. It felt like they could have been a bit savvier and moved down a couple picks. Obviously, teams were trying to get into that back half of the first round. We saw multiple picks. But I was just expecting something different from the 49ers there. I didn't really love any of the wide receivers available that were on the clock then when the 49ers had that pick. Like, I didn't think Xavier Legit was worth, you know, a first-round pick either. I'm not high on A.D. Mitchell. I like Pearsall more than those guys. So I'm happy that's the route the 49ers took. But I just thought it could have happened a bit later. I mean, what do we know, right? Obviously, all these mock drafts, all these analysts don't really know too much because, like I said, Pearsall was not the guy mocked anywhere across the board. So who knows? But I still like the player, and I think there is a lot of positives to talk about when you talk about Pearsall. I feel like I'm one of his biggest fans. So let's talk about him. What are the 49ers? What type of player are the 49ers getting? Because that's really what matters, right? If he balls out, no one's going to remember what round they took him in. When watching Pearsall, the word smooth continues to stand out, whether it's like soft hands that he seems to make every single catch with, large catch radius, or his kind of underrated footwork that helps him get open while he churns through every route on the tree. You know, it felt like there was a chance that Pearsall could quickly contribute. It feels like there's a chance he can quickly contribute out of the slot on day one as kind of like a chain mover. But he also has potential to step outside. Remember, this guy is 6'1". He's versatile. He played all over the field during his time at Florida. So wouldn't it be a surprise to see him do the same thing with the 49ers? Those type of traits, that type of player is always exciting, is always extreme. Intriguing, especially in an offense being drawn up by Kyle Shanahan. This kid is savvy. He understands how to break down defenders. I think the most impressive thing that you're going to hear about time and time again with him is route running. Well, it's more than just like, yeah, he can run every route on the tree, like I just mentioned. It's the art of route running. He understands that. He's creative in terms of getting open through route running. You know, at the NFL level, the SEC level, what he's coming off of, you need kind of some tools in your toolbox to get open that isn't just like speed and athleticism, being able to cut or run routes. It's deeks, it's rocker steps, it's hesitations. Pearsall has all of that and more. I mean, I think his hesitation game off the line of scrimmage is really, really impressive. You're seeing so much more of that in the NFL. I think he has a nasty rocker step that's going to set back a lot of defensive backs. He has a game plan, it seems like, on each release, which is something you like to see from a young wide receiver, because I think that's something that is kind of taught as you grow as a wide receiver. A lot of guys don't come into the league with that right away because you don't necessarily always need it at the college level, right? The college level is high scoring. There's a lot of, you know, defense is loose. But Pearsall kind of made his money by getting open that way versus just running by guys. And I mean, he still has speed. He's still an athletic, tested really high on like the RAS scores, if you guys are interested in that type of thing, or the RAS scores, which kind of measures all your different athletic traits, tested very high across the board in a lot of those. He's not your burner in terms of straight line speed. I think he plays faster than you might think from his testing. He has very little wasted steps that he uses to kind of create that separation. He does have some track experience, but he has that long speed where once he gets going, it's fast. And we're going to talk about some negatives here in a second, but that explosiveness is something that is missing. Chain mover is something that I keep writing down when I talk about Pearsall. I think he can kind of be that guy for Purdy underneath. And then eventually shift to the outside. I think he kind of starts inside and contributes right away as more of a slot wide receiver, but I want to mention this again. I think he's more than just a slot wide receiver. He is 6'1" and can run any route. But having a playmaking consistent slot, a guy that can just move the chains for 6, 7, 8, 9 yards, pick up first downs, pick up third and longs type of thing, by working inside, not only helps free up guys like Debo, who's going to work underneath in his own kind of unique way, also could free up Brandon Ayuk if these guys are still in town, obviously. But the 49ers haven't had necessarily this ultra-consistent slot wide receiver, a true slot wide receiver, during kind of the Kyle Shanahan era, really. I mean, I wouldn't classify Debo or Brandon Ayuk as these slot guys. I think Pearsall kind of steps in and provides that. Now let's talk a bit about the negatives, because there obviously are some, like myself, and I think many agree. He's not a perfect prospect. That's why he, on a lot of boards, he was kind of a second-round player. He's not ultra-physical at the line of scrimmage. Bigger, stronger defenders are going to be able to disrupt his routes if they get their hands on him. He's going to, you know, have to learn how to work off press coverage. He is not super explosive. He has kind of that long speed versus that instant burst, and sometimes you need that instant burst if somebody's going to play up in your grill. So we're going to need to see some improvements, I think, from Pearsall in that facet, but most of his game I really like. It seems like there's a lot more positives than there is negatives. From the minute I watched him in games for Florida, I liked him. I liked the way he moved. Overall, I just think it's a really solid prospect. I like him a lot more than I think a lot of other people do. But I do question the selection just because I don't like that position at the end of the first round. It's kind of left a sour taste in my mouth about the pick just because I felt like they could have gotten more creative there. However, I'm gonna sound a little contradictory here, because how I look at the NFL draft, and I think we spend so much time kind of criticizing like these selections where they're made and the value just because of what somebody else's ranking system is telling us, right? Like most of these ranking systems are built off guys we've never met, like the Todd McShays and the Mel Kuypers and stuff like that. It is really tough to talk to, like, that's how I do a lot of my draft research, is see what these guys are saying, see what their ranks. I obviously have my favorite players because I'm a big college football fan. So I watch guys, and then you'll get to see some film and you can watch highlights and different things like that. And you find your draft crushes. You find your guys you might value more than others. But overall, that still starts from just kind of like a random ranking list. We don't see what the big boards look like inside NFL facilities. So these guys at the end of the day are working for NFL teams. They know a thing or two more than myself and even obviously all the guys who are draft analysts who build these rankings. So long story short, kind of a winded answer, is if the 49ers like a guy, they should go get him. I think kind of measuring your picks against, you know, a Mel Kiper's best available big board type of thing is not necessarily the best way to kind of evaluate draft picks, you know, after they've been drafted. And on top of that, you know, the 49ers are in a position to kind of take whoever they want, whenever they want, right? This wasn't kind of a top 10 pick. This wasn't a pick that needs to be a pillar of a rebuild. This isn't necessarily a pick that needs to be an end-all, be-all wide receiver one right away to kind of ignite an offense. The 49ers have a ton of players that already do that. Pearsall is going to fill a role. I mean, this was the number 31 overall pick, not the number 1 overall pick, not the number 3 overall pick. It was a luxury pick. I think the 49ers kind of approached this pick trying to find the best player that they could to help them win the Super Bowl next year. And the most, you know, most of those stud offensive linemen were gone. I mentioned how I feel about some of those wide receivers, and so Pearsall was the move. Like, if they drafted A.D. Mitchell, and we're doing a different podcast right now, I'm saying to you guys, I would have rather had Ricky Pearsall in the second than A.D. Mitchell in the first. I think it's tough to kind of think about some of the guys they passed on. I talked your guys' ear off about how it needed to be an offensive player, how offensive players dominated this draft class. We saw that on Thursday night. Tons of offensive guys went off the board. A lot of defensive players left on the board, and some really good ones. Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry. I mean, I thought those guys would be off the board by the time the 49ers would pick, so I didn't even necessarily consider them. Kool-Aid, one of my favorite players in the draft, obviously, like what Cooper DeJean did at Iowa, such a playmaker. I thought, you know, those guys would be off the board. So those are two that's kind of like a tough pill to swallow, as in guys you passed on. Probably going to be monitoring those two's career wherever they go. As, you know, obviously if they ball out, you kind of think of what could have been. I think with those two specifically, I thought their talent's kind of off the chart. Versus, like, there wasn't necessarily an offensive lineman you say, okay, we need, the 49ers need to go grab him right now. All right, with all that being said, let's talk about the grade. Let's talk about the grades. Let's talk about the rankings. I always think of, like, these draft grades are so silly and tough because, you know, if I were to give this an A-plus right now, it wouldn't really matter versus an F. It's all kind of who cares at this point because you just drafted him. So should we go off like the thumbs up system, the ratings, like a 5-star movie type of thing? How are we going to judge this for Pearsall? Because I like him. I personally like him as a player. Like I mentioned, he was one of my favorite players. I would have kind of clapped for whatever team he was picked by. I think the value kind of drops the pick a bit. Let's just say we're going to do traditional grading. I think, realistically, it's probably like a C-plus grade because the reach was a little odd. But for me, since I like him, we're going to bump it up to a B-minus. I think we're going to give it just like an 80, where you're doing good. You're doing good in the class enough to get a B, but still some ways away from an A, flirting with dropping to a C. If you improve through the rest of the class, you can easily go to an A, but if you slip up at all, you're going to drop in that C category. I think that's where we're at with Pearsall, an 80, a B minus on the grade. But overall, I think there is, you know, chance that this pick works out for the 49ers. I'm really interested in seeing what Kyle Shanahan does with him because it feels like this was such a Kyle Shanahan pick. In the press conference today on the call with the reporters after, he kind of said, oh, he reminds him of himself. He was obviously joking, but it was funny to hear him say that. I think kind of the question on a lot of people right now are thinking is like, what does this mean for Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel? I don't know. I think not a ton has changed. I think if anything were to happen, it would have been today because I think the 49ers value those guys both as like, if you're going to trade them, it has to be a pretty steep trade with a first round pick. Now you're potentially looking at picks next year, maybe multiple seconds. I don't think much has changed now that the first round is over. I think, you know, the kind of priority shifts from exploring trades for Ayuk to extending him. They didn't get a first rounder. He's still just 26 years old, coming off one of the best seasons of his career. Obviously, we're big Brandon Ayuk fans here. You know, now he has a chance to play with his former teammate, Ricky Pearsall. They were teammates, I think, in 2019. Before Pearsall transferred to Florida, he played 2 seasons at Arizona State. They actually caught passes from Jaden Daniels, the number 2 overall pick from tonight's draft. It's kind of crazy to think of the program Arizona State was because I believe from like 2018 to 2019, they now had 3 first-round wide receivers on campus and the number 2 overall pick in the draft. It's kind of crazy to think of what the talent they had there at one point in Tempe. For Debo, like I mentioned earlier, I am surprised the chatter's heating up. It's kind of weirdly shifted that pressure of a trade from Debo to, excuse me, from Ayuk to Debo. I think the Bills at number 33 are a really interesting team to pay attention to. If there is a wide receiver trade, even if it is a T. Higgins, I think it kind of starts with the Bills at number 33. They've traded back twice. Now have an arsenal of picks. I think they'll probably be active in terms of some of this trade chatter. However, Debo's contract could really hold up any move. I mean, dealing him this year would cost the 49ers $21.7 million in dead cap, saving just $6.9 million this season. That significantly shrinks next year. It seems like if there is a wide receiver conversation, it is becoming more about next year than this. And it's looking more and more likely that the 49ers kind of head into camp, at least with Debo, Brandon Ayuk, and now Ricky Pearsall at wide receiver. Let's talk about the first round here before we wrap up here on the podcast on Believe in 49ers. There was obviously some picks that I liked. I got to talk a little bit about Michael Penix. Loved Rome Odunze to the Chicago Bears. I think that's a pretty sick pairing of him and Caleb Williams, especially with Keenan Allen there, DJ Moore there. I mean, I think that offense suddenly overnight got a lot better. I love what the Raiders did and just taking one of the best players on the board that was kind of slipping a bit, and Brock Bowers, not panic, take a quarterback, something like that, not some silly trade. I think Brock Bowers is a stud, a top five player in this class, and now he's going to Las Vegas with Antonio Pierce. I love what Latu going to the Colts. I think that's a stud pick. I like Dallas Turner for how far he fell. The Vikings went up and got him, and whew, good luck, Xavier Worthy, 4-2 speed to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills giving up that pick for them. I don't know, something poetic about that, though, that it was the Bills, too, that they made that trade with, for them to go get probably the scariest player in the draft of what he could turn into if that speed kind of, if they can harness that speed somehow, some way. Really like that. Michael Penix Jr., obviously, I'm a UW guy. Been a huge fan of his. Talked about him a lot on the podcast. I had my skepticism about him. I didn't know how much I valued him as kind of like an NFL top tier prospect. I thought he was a first round pick, but I didn't think in the top 10. I'm obviously extremely excited for him with everything he's been through, his road to recovery in terms of multiple long season ending injuries, for him to now be kind of this, you know, try to be a face of a franchise. I don't know what Atlanta's doing. I don't really understand the plan because of obviously everything with Kirk Cousins. Is it play Kirk Cousins for 2 years? Michael Penix Jr. is an older NFL prospect. You know, he's going to be old by the time each year. It seems like out of anyone, he'd probably be ready to compete soon. Sooner rather than later, just because of all his experience at the college level. This is not a guy that needs to learn a ton. And kind of sit back and wait in the wings. Obviously, with everything we've heard about Kirk not knowing, I just don't understand what the Falcons are doing. I wish the absolute best for Michael Penix Jr. I don't get the plan. I don't really understand why they, if they wanted Michael Penix, why wouldn't they just not spend the money on him and draft him or guarantee draft him? At, you know, exhaust some picks in terms of trading up if you're really worried about being able to get him. The 8th pick in the draft's very high. Yeah, I don't really understand that one, but I'm really rooting heavily for Michael Penix Jr. Before we get out of here, gotta leave you guys with some names of some players that I like on day 2 of the draft. Kind of just did this position by position, starting with running back because it just left quarterbacks off the board. Jonathan Brooks, running back from Texas, maybe the best running back in the draft. I think this guy's going to go somewhere and kind of really thrive. As in his NFL career, pre-injury, he looked like an absolute dog and kind of looks like an NFL back. Love his size. Love it, all he can do. Heard me talk about him a bunch. Jalen Polk, wide receiver from Washington. Couple wide receivers that I think fly off the board on day 2. Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, wide receiver from USC. Pearsall probably knocks the Brendan Rice train off the board to the 49ers. I like Javon Baker from UCF. Jatavion Sanders from Texas, heard me talk a lot about him. I think kind of pairing one of these young tight ends with George Kittle here is a smart idea. I like Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona as well, another tight end. Offensive line is probably a position the 49ers have to take a long, hard look at on day two. There is still some talent available. Christian Haynes, offensive guard from UConn. Cooper Beebe, from offensive guard from Kansas State. And then probably the prize of the second round right now, I'm sure is that very high on a lot of people's boards, is Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon. Kind of a plug-and-play day one guy. Jerzon Newton, Johnny Newton, defense tackle from Illinois. I think highly predicted to be a first-round pick, slipped into the second round. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M. And then the two guys we talked about earlier, Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry at corner, are both still available. I love the draft, the first round of the draft. It drags on. It's slow. It felt extra slow. Maybe it was the fact that the 49ers are drafting at the very end. Made it feel extra slow. Day two is really fun. Day two is kind of where you make the money, right? That's where you find these guys that turn into contributors. This is kind of how you build playoff teams that are ready for runs. So I'm really excited. Hopefully one of the guys I just mentioned lands with the 49ers. Hit me on Twitter if you want to talk some ball. You got a draft prospect you want the 49ers to take on day two or day three. Or, as always, if you want to talk some hoops and the Golden State Warriors, as you know, I'm the managing editor of USA Today's Warriors Wire, as well as working for Niners Wire. And I have a question for you. Dub Nation, with the Warriors out of it, Steph Curry, by the way, congratulations, named the NBA's Clutch Player of the Year, second time ever the award's been released. But back to my question, does it make you happy that the Lakers are getting absolutely run by the Nuggets? Are you kind of rooting for a specific team in the playoffs? Or are you kind of preying on the downfall of certain teams and whoever plays them is your kind of the team you're rooting for? I have some players I like. I don't know. I predicted my pick was the Mavericks to win the title. I really like how the Mavericks built their roster. Obviously think there's some teams, you know, love what the Nuggets are doing. OKC is very scary. Boston's scary. I just kind of wanted to do an outside the box pick. I picked the Mavericks. But I'm not a huge Kyrie fan, not really a huge Luka fan. I just like the way that team is built. So we'll see. But yeah, are you being a hater or do you have a team you're rooting for? Hit me up on Twitter. Would love to hear it. And we will be back tomorrow with another reaction podcast to what the 49ers do on day two. So stay tuned for that. Subscribe to Believe in 49ers here on the Believe Podcast Network. Thank you to our sponsor, Bet Online. But most importantly, thank you for listening to Believe in 49ers, presented by Bet Online.